Morning. Glad that you have chosen to spend your Sunday morning with us at Wiley Methodist Church. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're really glad that you are here. And we want to ask you to notice the blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you would like to register with us and let us know that you are here, we would love to know that, love to know who you are. I promise we won't bug you or anything weird, but we just like to know that you're here. We do have a few weird people here, and I won't name any names, but we won't let any of them, have your information. How's that? Sound good? And you weird ones, you know who you are. There's several of them that are ducking behind the seats. We are glad that you're here. We had an exciting event yesterday, and you guys, probably most of you, don't even know about this. Abby? Raise your hand, Abby. Abby, oh, a little higher than that. Abby Freimeyer graduated from college yesterday. Woo! Now it's official. You are smarter than your mother. We know that. You have the paper to prove it. Did anybody else? Am I missing anybody? Did anybody else graduate from college yesterday? Or this semester? Vicki, did you graduate? Awesome. Vicki back here. And had a baby to boot. So we're excited. Did I miss anybody else? Bailey's not here, but Bailey graduates next week from Colorado State University and gets off the payroll. Yes, we're excited. So anybody else? We're excited about those milestones for them. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. The Loudermilk family read this verse just a little while ago. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you, John. Easy. Calm down. That's something different today. Matthew chapter 2, but they read part of this verse this morning, so I want to read it again to you. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, and we've learned from the children this morning, the wise men were very wise. Did you catch that theology coming out there? Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Now notice here, they answer with the Old Testament prophecy. We saw last week in Luke, where in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin would be with child and would give birth to the Son, and they would call him Jesus. And that came to pass some 700 years later. And we're now the chief priests and the teachers of the law are quoting from Micah. They say, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We have invited you into our presence. We pray that you would speak with power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing the Advent sermon series, The First Noel. The First Noel. There we go. This week, Responding to the King. Responding to the King with a subtitle of Overcoming Self-Centeredness. Now you may wonder how we get to that place of self-centeredness. The Lord just kind of laid this on my heart. You know, when any child is born, it comes very naturally and instinctive to us, even from birth, to be self-centered, doesn't it? You know, a baby, they want to be dry. They want to be fed. They want to be cuddled. They don't like poopy diapers. It's okay. I checked. It's okay to say poopy in the pulpit. It's okay. But their total focus is me, isn't it? So I want you to think about that for a second. At what point do we outgrow that? Hello. Some of you are going, little light bulbs going. You know, if we come out self-centered, at what point do we kind of go, you know what, it's not all about me. I think there's something more going on here besides me. Overcoming self-centeredness. Now, the Magi, I'm gonna talk a little bit more specifically about them, but news of the birth of, in their words, King of the Jews, news of his birth stirred something in the Magi, stirred something. We know that, we don't know all the specific details, but we know that they traveled from a far place. They talked about being in the east, and they traveled a far ways to get probably several hundred miles. If there's people that have done all kinds of research where they came from. A lot of people think they came from modern-day Iran, that would be a several hundred mile journey. But something was stirred in the Magi upon the birth of the King of the Jews. So my question to us as we start this message this morning is anything stirred in us? Is anything stirred in us about the good news of the King of the Jews coming into the world? I know I apologize, Myra, for keep coming back to it, but is Myra here? And Myra's not here today. Well, that's good. She won't have to endure this again. Myra got emotional last week reading the passage of the birth of Jesus when they were lighting the candle. And I don't know about you, but that was the highlight of my day, and it was the highlight of my week, was seeing that something was stirred in Myra just reading God's word about the birth of Jesus. Something should be stirred in us, church, at the coming of this King of Kings. The birth of Jesus, the first thing in your notes there, if you want to follow along, the first thing is the birth of Jesus should cause us to passionately seek the King. You know, the passage we just read today out of Matthew says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star and have come to worship him. They saw this star. They obviously had some knowledge about this coming of this Messiah, how it was supposed to come, and this star marked this time and this event, and so they had come a long way to see him and to worship him. Something was passionately stirring in them to seek the King. Now, this actually just, it's not in your notes if you want to make a note of Luke 19:10, just came to me this morning, is more importantly than us passionately seeking the King is that he passionately seeks us. Hello. Is this on? Are you hearing me, church? Whether we're seeking him or whether we're not, he is on a mission to seek you out because of his great love for you. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man, these are the words of Christ himself, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And it's really not a what, but it's a who. Who's lost? You and I. He came to seek and to save us. And somehow it seems as though the Magi, must have known that there was something special about this event, and they were seeking him out. There is a website that I actually I highly recommend this. I watched the whole thing. BethlehemStar.com is the website. And you can go, this guy, he's too smart for me to even try to repeat what he teaches in this video. It's about an hour-long video. You can order the DVD through BethlehemStar.com, but you can also go, I cheated. I went to YouTube, and it was all right there, and I watched the whole thing there. But he actually goes, and he's a scholar about the astrology and stars and so on and so forth. And he actually was able to go and look through the, again, I'm not smart enough to tell you all of this. You have to watch the video. But through the Hubble telescope, we've gained all kinds of knowledge of the stars and how things rotate and when things are in alignment. And like he could go back to any point in history, you name a day, anywhere in history, he can go back and he can look and see exactly where the stars were, where all the planets, where everything was lining up. He can go back and he can look at that. And he traced it down. It's a very interesting video. I highly encourage you to do it. But he was able to track down the star and why it stood. You know, stars don't typically, you know, go over a place and just hover there. And so a non-believer would immediately go, oh, somebody just made that up. But he's proven scientifically. Remember what I said about science? What did I say about science and Christianity? Science is not our enemy. Science is our friend. The more we understand science, the more that God lines up. The more we see that, hey, this there's something to this. Okay? So he was able to determine that all these things were in alignment right over Bethlehem that particular day. Very, very interesting. So I highly encourage you to go and check that out. But one of the things that we mistake about the Magi, you know, all of our little growing up, all our little Christmas pageants, we have, you know, Jesus is born, and here comes in the shepherds. They come marching in. Most of them are little cute little kids in robes that some moms made, and they come marching in, and then we have the three kings that come marching in and doing all this stuff. Well, the actual first of all, we don't think that they were kings, and we don't even know that there were three of them. If you look at scripture, it doesn't even say there was three. We say three because there were three gifts given, which we'll get to in a second, but we don't know that there were even three of them. But they seem to be kind of scientists, astrologers and scientists of their day. And we see that it was 2 years or a little less was the time that the Magi actually came. And so Jesus was not a little baby in the manger. Jesus was a little toddler when they came and saw him. The reason we know that is because when they identified, when they had seen the star to Herod, wanting to wipe out this king of the Jews, he ordered his soldiers to go to Bethlehem, and all the little male children from 2 years old and younger, wipe them out, kill them. And we know there's also prophecy foretelling that event, okay? And so we know that based on the dating that the Magi gave to Herod, of when they saw the star, we knew that Herod was thinking he could be up to 2 years old. So we're just going to make sure every male child from 2 years old and younger, we're going to kill him. Passionately seeking the king, if the birth of Jesus has made an impact on us. So I want to ask you, are we seeking Jesus? He's seeking you. He's seeking you out. John Wesley called that prevenient grace, where his grace is already at work in your life. It's already moving in your life. Jesus is already pursuing you, but you may not even know who he is. I promise you, he knows who you are, and he loves you. Secondly, the birth of Jesus should cause us to experience great joy. We see that in this passage we read today. When they saw the star hovering over the place where Jesus was, it says they were overjoyed. had been on a long journey seeking him out. There was something drawing them to this child, and they were overjoyed. We saw last week in Luke where the angels announced to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the city of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So as this as Jesus was proclaimed, it included great joy. So again, I ask you, how about us? Does the news of Jesus bring us great joy? This is a difficult season sometimes to be joyful. How many of you have stood in line at Walmart in the last couple of weeks? Anybody? I mean, this is one I don't recommend for you to Google, but if you did, wanted to see some craziness, you can go Google fights during the holiday season or something like that. I mean, you'll have people pulling hair out and all kinds of stuff, you know, to save $10 on a TV or something. We can just make this season about all kinds of things, but Scripture tells us, the angels proclaimed, I bring you good news of great joy. We should be a joyful people. Our joy should separate us from the rest of the world. Did you know that, church? When you're in your office, when you're in your home, when you're in the grocery store, when you're in the bank, when you're wherever driving down the street, now we're getting personal. When we're in our everyday lives, people should look at us and go, wow. That dude must be a Christian. That lady must be a Christian because she just has joy. Now, you've heard me talk about joy suckers. Anybody know any joy suckers? And you've heard me ask this question. I'm going to ask it again. The real question is, are you a joy sucker? Hello. Am I a joy sucker? When we walk into the room, we should be exuding great joy because we've got the message. We have the good news, church. We know what Jesus has done for us. Many don't. I bring you good news of great joy. Third thing, the birth of Jesus should cause us to worship him. Now, this is really interesting as I kind of dug down a little bit deeper into this thought. They began their journey as they're telling Herod, the Magi said, we've seen this star in the east proclaiming the king of the Jews. We've come here to worship him. On coming in the house, a little bit later in the passage, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Now, y'all, I preached on Mary 2 weeks ago, so I'm a big fan of Mary. But who are they worshiping? Hello. You know, I was thinking about this. There's all sorts of great people throughout history that we can admire, we can respect greatly. I mean, you just look back, Mary, the Apostle Paul, Peter. As you move up, you know, Martin Luther, John Wesley, all of these historical people of the faith. In more modern days, I mean, I think Billy Graham has represented the faith as well as I've ever seen. So we have all these great people that we admire. But when the Magi came into the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and worshiped him. Jesus alone is worthy of our worship, church. Do we know that? You can respect people and you can honor people, but Jesus is the only Son of God. And I tell people this all the time. You know, I respect a lot of people. I think a lot of the heritage of our faith in the Methodist Church, the John Wesley and all. But John Wesley didn't hang on a cross for me. And Jesus did. He saved me from my sins. He made me a new creation. And that brings me great joy. How about you, church? Do we bow down and worship him? That was the reason they came. We're seeking him out. We want to bow down and worship him. Fourth thing, the birth of Jesus should cause us to sacrificially give. And this is where everybody gets real nervous and thinks I'm going to preach about giving. Well, first of all, your nervousness is accurate. It should. Every piece of us belongs to Jesus. Our lives, our families, our time, our energies, our focus, our money, it's all His. The first response, they bowed down and worshiped Him, and then it says they opened their treasures and presented Him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. I can just kind of see them. They see Him and they bow down and they're worshiping Him, and then they do that for a while, and then they stand up and they're like, what can we give Him? What can we give Him? What do we have? This is the King of the Jews. What can we give Him? We don't have much. We have some treasures. Let's give Him our treasure. That's all we have to give right now. We've given Him our adoration, our worship. They were just, you could just see it. They were just so eager. What can we give Him? We are called to be givers because God is a giver. Did you know that? And I'm not talking about just about money, but yes, I am talking about our financial gifts, but I'm talking about our time and our energies and our focus. We get so distracted, don't get me started, but we get so distracted with, and much of it is good stuff, really good stuff. But you've heard me say it before. I'm just telling you, I know this is probably going to make some of you angry with me, but if you are communicating to your children that soccer is more important than Jesus, man. And I grew up a sports fanatic. I still love sports. Cheryl will tell you. But sports and no matter what it is, ballet or drama or choir or whatever it is, when we begin to put something in front of God, and the focus of Him in our lives, we have set up an idol in our life. Do we understand that? I know this is really, seems maybe foolishness to some of you, what I'm about to say, but I'm God's been kind of convicting me, be a lot easier, but are the Dallas Cowboys an idol in my life? I grew up watching the Cowboys. I love watching the Cowboys even when they're morons. But anyway, which has been pretty often this year. But is that an idol in my life? God, is that more important than You? God wants, He wants our hearts. He wants everything about us. He wants our focus. He is a giver, and He calls us to be givers. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. Do you hear the heart of God there? First, His motive was love. He loves us. So His action was He gave. And His was gave. He didn't give out of the leftovers. He gave the most precious gift He had, which was of Himself. Jesus didn't come so that we would have this nice, warm, and fuzzy little moment where we look and peer into the manger. He came for the cross. That's why He came. For God so loved the world that He gave. How about us, church? Are we givers? As I said when I started, self-centeredness comes very naturally and instinctive to us, and I put myself right in the middle of that statement. It's very instinctive and easy to be all about me. But that's not the heart of God. The heart of God He is a giver. And the purpose of His giving was life. So that you and I would have eternal life, so you and I would have abundant life. So how about us? Do we open our treasures? And when I say that word treasures, that's a big word. Do we open our treasures and present them to Him? I mean, How about our time? Just our schedule, our time. So many of you, I admire so many in this congregation. We put out a plea. We had a family moving yesterday that couldn't load their truck. And Billy put out a plea to a few folks, and we were flooded with people to come and help load this truck. So many ways. I could go on and on about different ways I've seen you in this church being givers. But I'm just telling you, and again, I put myself right in the middle of this, we're not even close to tapping into our potential. We're not even close to tapping into what God has called for us to be as a church, to be as his disciples. Listen, I want to read this last scripture as I close. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Philippians 2. And listen to the heart of God as I read this passage. This is the heart of God, and this is the heart he would have us to be seeking. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now listen to this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So what was his attitude? Who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. See, Jesus had every right to sit on the throne and go, wash my feet. You die for me. You serve me. But instead, so he was God. He had every right to demand that. But instead, he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who the Magi were seeking. The King of the Jews. Rattled their cage. It changed them. When they fell face to face with him, they fell on their face. And they worshipped him. And they began to look, what can we give him? What can we give him that's of any value? How about us, church? That's the heart of God, and that's the heart he would have us seek. We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'll just bow your heads with me just a moment. Father, we don't have the ability to love like you in our own strength. It's not within us. Because what's within us is to be self-centered and self-absorbed and to just be looking out for what's best for us. Father, we understand that's not your heart. That's not your will for us. You've called us to be a sacrificial people. Empower us through the power of your Holy Spirit to love like you love. Father, if there's those this morning that have never sought you out, have never met you face to face, I pray that through the power of your Spirit you would come upon them and you would reveal your great love for them. We love you, Jesus. You are indeed the King of Kings. We worship you and we're overjoyed at your presence. Give us your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise team will come forward. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you would like to be prayed for, any of those things, I will be down front, not just during the song, but even after church, I'll be here. You come and seek me out. Let's stand as we close.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols to give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that sees. Seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that sees. Seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bow. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that sees. Seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And God, let us be a generation that sees. Seeks your face, O God of Jacob.
I bring you good news of great joy. Have you heard this? A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now go and tell someone. Share Him with others. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another.